In this week's show...
Motherfuckers! I talk about The Expanse.
And I talk about God of War.
I am terrified of elevators. I'm going to start taking steps to avoid them.
I talk about Wolfenstein, The New Colossus. And for some good measure, we've got some humour at the end. Hello, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, gamers, geeks, superhumans, people who are there to replace presidents, the offshoot of Satan, Keith's bottom, and other things. It's this week's Monkey Nut Punch podcast, and for a change, we're live on the internet. So say hello, Nigel.
Hello, Nigel.
How are we doing? This is an odd one, because when we first started this off, we did the whole thing. We did what we lovingly referred to as the gaming roundup, and we did it entirely online. Unfortunately, we're not as big as we were then, so we haven't got anyone following or listening or whatever. But it's just really odd for us to be online doing this online. So this week, it's a novelty.
Give it a go.
Yeah, we'll give it a go, because we haven't done it in ages, and we're hoping Hangouts got better since we left. Because when we started using it, it was quite good. Then they changed it and fucked it up.
Yep.
And then we're hoping that they put it back. It seems like it's working like it used to, but hey. Enough dribble. This week, myself and Nigel, well, I will be talking my ass off about the Expanse to Nigel. Nigel will be explaining to me how good God of War is or isn't. I'm going to talk about Wolfenstein and New Colossus, and then... we're going to see if we can put a bit of levity into our lives by reading 25 hilarious news headlines, just to give us a bit of a giggle, because we've been a bit serious for the last couple of podcasts, and I think we need some you know, levity, some laughter to try and help us out.
And unfortunately, Keith's not here to laugh at, so...
yeah, he's right.
Or defend himself.
At. Yeah, or to defend himself. So, I want to talk about The Expanse.
Yeah, knock yourself out, mate. I know nothing.
This is the best TV show. It has. I'm not joking. Go on Rotten Tomatoes, yeah, and just have a quick look at the score that The Expanse has on Rotten Tomatoes. Yeah, seriously, if you don't believe me that this TV show is a fucking good TV show, yeah, just have a look. Season 3, I think, is
90%.
It's
90%,
90% tomato. From critics and 95% from bloody
normal peeps.
Yeah, now scroll down. All right, hang on a second. I've just realised I can share this because we're online. Now if you look down, I'm going to share my screen. So there's me going into infinity. Go down and have a look at season 3's ratings.
Yeah, good.
100%. It's fucking fabulous. I'm not joking. Look, 100%, not only by critics, but by the fucking audience members too. That's how good this TV show is. I'm not joking. It's brilliant. It's one of the best TV shows you could possibly imagine or watch. It's great kind of thing. It's great kind of sci-fi. Less opera-y, more kind. It has the kind of, I hate to say it because everyone does this. This is kind of the Game of Thrones political playing for power element to it,
right?
Which is done by the kind of the factions like Mars and Earth and the Outer Planetary Alliance and the Machowski. I can't say him properly. The Mercantile Machowski, I think it is, organization. who's like a corporation that's got more money than God. And another element, which they kind of touch on but don't quite get there. I watched this well, Wednesday's episode of The Expanse, and it was fabulous. It centered around an Earth Force ship, I think it was a heavy cruiser, called the Agatha King, which I think I spoke to you previously about as a Agatha Christie, Stephen King kind of
name. Oh, yeah, the name things.
Yeah, and this admiral, the joint chief of the Navy, one of the joint chiefs of the Navy, has turned up to take control of this, and it's a little suspicious because he's running roughshod over the captain, and the captain's quite well respected by himself and lots of other naval captains. And he gets a piece of information to find out that this guy called Wynn, who's the joint chief's admiral, is colluding with the Protogen company. And he's trying to cause a war. And while this is happening, you've got the Martians and their fleet with all their super technological weapons are like kind of out in the distance. And they're like, we don't know if they're going to go to war or not. Yeah, we've got a message from one of our guys, turned around and said that this prick is trying to cause a war. That's literally, because we've got this guy's trying to cause a war. So if we can get hold of the captain of the Agatha King, the proper captain of the Agatha King, not the joint chief's captain, we'll find out. Anyway, he decides to try and overthrow the joint chief's, this Wynn character. It goes bad. It goes bad. Wynn kills him and his fellow conspirators who were armed, leaving just the rest of the bridge crew, which wasn't very good. And while he's doing that, one of the Earth ships, which is his fleet, break off. So he decides to nuke the ship for good measure.
As you do.
Yeah, and the Martians are watching this, and it's like we could engage them now and beat them. To which the Martian captain quite turned around and goes, if they want to fire on their own and take out their own people, let them. Let's be sensible. Let's not waste our fucking bullets. Yeah? We've got better things to be doing with these things.
Yeah.
Which it wasn't done in that kind of levity, because the person in charge of the Martian fleet didn't want to go to war. Yeah, they were like kind of, you know, if we can avoid war, we don't want to go to war, because it just turns out into a zero-sum game. We'd still fucking lose at the end of the day, and we don't want that. Anyway, while that's happening, on the base, where they're experimenting with a proto-molecule and building these kind of hybrid soldiers with these pod things, which act as like torpedoes, which will hit a ship, and then the soldiers get on the ship and then infect everyone with the proto-molecule stuff, which then causes them to break down people into components so the proto-molecule can build its like Stargate thing, which it's doing. They figured out that all the proto-molecule is connected to itself simultaneously, so if one thing's doing one thing over here and that's happening over here, there's no light delay when you're sending a transmission like from a radio wave from one point to another. So you don't have to wait 6 minutes for a signal to go there and back. It's all happening at the same time, which indicates they've got kind of quantum entanglement, a QED kind of think state on it, which is quite cool. And they quiz this boy who's taken this person. They've literally taken apart one of the nurses that was trying to help, to learn how they fit together. And then it's like, kind of, why did you do that? And it just happened to happen roughly at the same time as a ship that was exploring a protocyte molecule where this station Eros crashed, and it's building something big. Something big is going on down there. And what it did is, as the ship was coming in to try and scan it, it got hold of the ship and just took the whole thing apart. And I'm talking about like a jigsaw, just the whole thing apart with all the bits there. And they figured out that the two things are connected, and they don't know what it's building. I know what it's building because I read books. And it was really good, because you had them figuring out that the proto molecules all connected to it. You had the mutiny on board the Agatha King. Then you had the Scirocco class Martian frigate, where the Martian naval commander is trying, she's desperately trying to figure out what the fuck is going on, because everything seems really odd, like something is going wrong. So she's in that kind of situation, all this stuff's happening, yeah, and then you've got the good guys from the Rocinante, and they've landed on the base, they're going to infiltrate the base, they're going to try and rescue this guy's daughter, and they're taking apart a door just before they're about to go in and you know, kick the shit out of these people. But as that happens, the wind fella, who was trying to take control of the Earth fleet, gets control of the proto-molecule soldiers and launches them at all both fleets. And then there's clips next week of where you can see that this proto-molecule thing is starting to take apart the ship and feeding off the radiation and stuff, and it's starting to try and form more of these things, which will go out and build the gate. And it was fabulous. I'm not joking. The tension was ratcheted up. The music was fucking great. The special effects were great, and that was fabulous. And then I think it was on Friday evening, I saw a tweet saying the following. The Expanse has been cancelled. There won't be a fourth series unless the group that owns it can shop it around to another network. Which fucked me off. And I replied quite aptly, motherfuckers! And then put the tweet down. Because it was so annoying. I just watched a really good episode. And I thought, this is getting better. This is ramping up. I'm really enjoying this, yeah?
Yeah.
I think the first problem is that The Expanse isn't advertised. I can't find a fucking advert for The Expanse outside Rotten Tomatoes things. They do little kind of like videos and stuff on it. And that's fucking terrible, because this series is good. The books are brilliant as well. That's the really good thing about it. You've got a good series of books about this, yeah? There's a funny guy on the internet called Doomcock. And he dresses up as a subterranean dictator. And apparently, him doing a review on The Expanse caused them to have more people watch them, which means that they're not advertising it correctly. This TV show, as we were explaining a couple of moments ago on the Rotten Tomatoes, has 100% from both critics and fans for the third series. And they don't fucking advertise it. This was supposed to be their replacement for Battlestar Galactica, some hard-assed science fiction, but they didn't bother selling it, and they didn't bother putting it out, and Sci-Fi just turned around and fucking cancelled it. But
yeah,
there is a ray of light. Because it is owned by an investment group, I believe, don't quote me on this, it's owned by an investment group, there is a chance that investment group are going to pass this out and try and get it on somewhere like Netflix or Hulu or Amazon or wherever. I hope they push to get on Amazon, because Amazon distribute it outside the US, and that's how I get to watch it. The problem is that it's on now in April, but it won't be on Amazon until September. So what I tend to do is I tend to watch it on the Dodge, and then I tend to watch it for legitimacy. So I watch the episodes about 3 or 4 times because I enjoy them that much. But these weren't the only TV shows cancelled, yeah? Last Man on Earth. Did you tell me about Last Man on Earth?
I think I did. That was on Amazon, wasn't it?
Yeah. Last Man on Earth. That's been cancelled.
Yeah. I was meaning to carry on watching that, but I didn't.
Yeah.
It was alright.
Designated Survivor, which I describe as 24 without Jack Bauer.
Is it?
It's got all the same elements. You've got people, terrorists working against the government, and conspiracies of people doing this, that, and the other. But there's no Jack Bauer going around, tell me where the bomb is, tell me where the bomb is. Shit.
I'm never taking a dump or piss.
No, but this guy, because this doesn't, he doesn't have time to. I'm really hungry. I could do a cheese sandwich halfway through an episode.
Chloe, I'm on my way to the office.
Give me a fucking pizza. Give me a pizza. I'm hungry.
Make sure it's there on time. Yeah.
That's been cancelled. I watched the first series. I liked the first series, and then it went a bit weird, and then I stopped watching it because Amazon were doing it the week after it was airing, which was better. But I prefer to sit down and watch it in a job lot. That's just my personal preference, and that may not be helping it. Marvel's Inhuman has been cancelled for the fucking mercy of everyone, because that was shit.
I watched the first episode of that. Never gone back to it. I couldn't even do the full series or full episode rule.
Well, if you can't get that far, then it fails. If you got to 4 episodes and you went, oh, this is good, then it passes. But if you can't get to 4 episodes, then it fails.
Inhumans was basically saying to you that the royalty, who seemed to only think for themselves, were the good guys. And the brother was the bad guy. Whereas actually, the way I saw it was the royalty were the bad guys and were being ousted by the brother, who wanted the people to have equal say in everything, not just because they got a shit power on their coming or whatever that was.
Yeah.
It meant that they're in the dog shit and down the rung. Why?
Yeah.
And the brother saw that and thought that was an injustice and rose up against his family. And yeah. I thought he was the good guy for that. And the royal family were just dicks.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They portrayed it completely wrong, I think.
And the other part of that too is you got with the Inhumans being where they were, it's like they had plenty of opportunities to like come down and help when things went to shit. It's like fucking Thanos' lot turns up. Where the fuck are they? They're hovering in their city behind the moon like a bunch of cock ends.
Yeah, on the dark side of the moon.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm not surprised at all that flunk.
Yeah, the reason that they did that is because they couldn't get hold of the X-Men, because the humans are like a, whether you like it or not, they're like a poor version of the X-Men. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
With the whole Terrigen mist, rather than being born with a genetic change.
Oh, that's it. Terrigen, isn't it? Or Terrigen?
Terrigen is the stuff that changes them. And Terrigenesis is the change, which is fun. Because apparently Thanos' son, Thane, is an Inhuman. He has his Titan deviant genes in him, but they don't get activated until he gets exposed to the Terrigen mist. Which was interesting in the comics, but I don't think they'll ever cross that. They would have ever crossed that in the TV show.
What I found about him, I found it fucking, you know. I know the bloke, the king, was it? He couldn't talk to anybody.
Yeah.
Because of it. He ended up, you know, sign languaging. At no point when he's trying to talk to other people, did he just get a fucking pad and write down what he wanted?
Just writes down, dick.
He comes in with somebody comes in, says something stupid, he just draws a fucking penis. Get out.
He's just got a set of cards he can pull out.
Yeah, just no. He's yes.
Flip through his cards. It's like, I'm hungry. No, feed me. Yeah.
Need shit. Yeah.
It was, yeah.
Not surprised. It was cack.
It was cack.
It was cack.
The Black Belt character is interesting, and then the Lockjaw thingy is interesting, and outside that, I think there is just his brother who's interesting, and I can't think of any other humans that are interesting, because Medusa's just got hair that she can control.
And that was shaved off, wasn't it? Yeah, so she no longer had hair. But she just had hair. Why does that make her fucking royalty?
I don't know. It's like, do you think it was a case of, like, do you think she could do the same with her pubes?
Yeah. That's why she's royalty. Yeah. He goes one night with her, and he was like, "Yeah, do you know what? Yeah, you're staying.
You're staying."
Yeah.
It didn't make any sense. It was the brother who wasn't a human but hadn't gone through the Terrigenesis process or Terrigen or whatever it is.
Yeah.
His power was the fact that he could think through and find flaws and exploit flaws in anything. That was his like kind of God-given kind of ability before he went through the process. And I don't think they ever put him through the process in the comics, because that would be quite interesting.
I can't remember if they did in this program. I only saw the one, but I can't remember if he was saying, "Oh no, I'm not doing it" or something.
Yeah.
But
then, yeah. Then we got the. Then The Exorcist was cancelled. I don't know how you could do a fucking 7-year series around the exorcism of one person. It must be multiple exorcisms.
Who knows? I never bothered.
I never bothered with that one. Nah. One called Quantico, about the FBI training thing. Didn't really watch it. That's fine. And one I did watch, one I really enjoyed, Lucifer. Which I enjoyed. Which it wasn't like the greatest show ever, but it was just like nice, mild, entertaining kind of stuff.
Nah, I've not seen it.
Not seen it. It was Lucifer decides to take a vacation on Earth for a couple of decades. And that was kind of the thingy. And Tom Ellis, who played Lucifer, did a really good job. And he was one of the people who I would have had up for playing Doctor Who if they hadn't picked a woman.
Might have to watch that then.
Yeah. But it was good. So, God of War looks interesting. I've asked someone to buy it for my birthday, because it's my birthday soon.
And hopefully you'll get that.
My birthday. Yeah, hopefully I will get that.
You played the last ones, haven't you?
I played the last ones. I played this is ironic, I played God of War 3,
mm-hmm.
then Chains of Olympus on the PSP, then I went back and played God of War, the first one, redone. I never got round to playing the second one, so I'll probably turn around. I should have a go at the second one, because I've got it on my PS3, which is sitting up here. And it was good. The third one, I think, was just really super violent. They really fucking got the violence and just wrenched it up. It's like Helios, yeah? The god of the sun.
Yeah.
Kratos just turns out and just rips his head off and uses it as a flashlight. And you get to see him rip the head off in proper kind of, like, detail. And you, like, you get to see all the tendons and the tubes and all the shit just pop and... And the bit where you kill what's his mush? God of the Sea, not Hyperion, not Neptune, because that's the Roman version.
Oh god!
I cannot remember his fucking name for the life of me. But when he kills the God of the Sea, and you get to see it from his perspective as he gouges out, he finishes off by gouging his eyes out. That was fucking brutal. It was. It's done very well, though.
Wasn't there one where... what was his name? He was Speed One. God of Speed.
Oh, Hermes, where he chops his fucking leg off to stop him from running away.
Yeah.
He was such an irritating little prick. And when that happened, I was like, yeah.
Well done to that.
Yeah, he was. He was he was such a little arsehole. But you've got the new one.
Yes. And it adds a dimension with a little boy.
Yeah.
And he doesn't call his son by his name unless he's really pissed off of him. So his normal calling is boy. But when he's a little bit frantic or something like that, he'll actually call him by his name, Atreus or Atreus. Right.
Atreus.
But he does have a little dimension because you can use him during fights. He's got a bow and arrow, and you can use him as a distraction. So if something's coming towards you, you can push the square button or something, and he'll fire. And he's got three arrows that he can fire, and he'll distract them, and also bring up a stun meter. Yeah. And when if you go bare fist, that stun meter goes up a lot quicker than if you were with Yaks. So once you get full stun meter, you click R3 and he does some sort of finishing move. Rips the head off or smashes it into something. It's gruesome, but he does it. And so he's a good little lad, to be fair.
He's a good little lad.
He's a good boy.
Smash that elf's head in with a ferocity.
Yeah, he's a good boy. So I don't mind it, and actually I thought, as you know, Kratos is the god of war or god of anger. He's angry at fucking everything, hates everything, doesn't he?
Yeah.
And he doesn't show much compassion towards the son. And it does start off, the game literally starts off with you chopping wood to take back to the house that you've lived in with your son for his mother's pyre, because she's died.
Yeah.
And I'm at the point where they haven't mentioned how and why she died. However, he's giving her a send-off, he's putting her on the pyre, lighting it and all that sort of stuff. And she, you learn that she has taught the boy how to read
yeah
and write, whereas Kratos can't, he's a bit thick, in that regard. He just runs around bashing shit and is incredibly strong, sort of thing. So
yeah,
he's used as sort of like an information gathering tool. So as you come up against new monsters or people, he writes it in a little journal and he puts a little note against each entry to say what he's learnt about the fight that you've just had against this thing. So you can find out weaknesses and openings and things like that that you could possibly use in the next time you meet them.
Yeah.
So that's useful. That's handy. And he adds a different dimension to Kratos himself. Because he's never cared about anything, has he? Really?
Yeah. Well, they changed the voice, didn't they? Because the voice is now voiced by Stargate's... oh, God, what's his name? Someone, Judge.
Jason? I don't know.
Jason Judge.
Yeah.
No, Christopher Judge.
Yes.
Who played Teok in Thingy. Before, it was done by a guy called Terrence... I think it's Terrence Carson or something along those lines.
He's so good. I like him in this. I like him in this. He's got the perfect voice for it. And there's only so many ways you can say the word boy, but he does it. It's like I am Groot, you know?
I am boy.
Yes. Boy. Boy. Boy.
Boy.
Boy. Boy. Yeah, that's what.
Boy, I riff.
Yeah. What does it say, boy? So it's really good. And I know there's drinking games around this. Some people were going to play God of War. Got it.
God of War drinking.
God of War drinking. So every time Kratos says the word boy, they'd have a drink. And he says it so often, after 10 minutes, I reckon you're fucking bladdered, mate. I don't recommend playing that game.
Yeah.
No, I recommend playing God of War, but I don't recommend playing
the drinking game. I get you. That could be disastrous.
And up until the point, I've got to a point, I've probably played about 10 hours or so, because I like to explore every nook and cranny, and I know that there are bits that I've passed that I couldn't get to at that point. When something happens maybe later on down the line and I unlock an ability or something along those, or have a companion, or I don't know, something will allow me to go back and unlock certain chests that I couldn't get to before because they were covered by some sort of rune or something. So I know I'm going to have to explore back. And I keep sort of looking at everything that I possibly can en route through the game.
Yeah.
Which is why I'm taking longer in this. But I do, I don't want to miss anything. It's a good game. And there's a point where we're at, I can't remember the name of the place. Niflheim? No, not Niflheim. Aphelhelm or something. Alfhelm. It's where the elves are. You've got the dark elves and the white elves and the light elves fighting. They're fighting each other. And the dark elves start fighting you as well, obviously. You don't see any alive light elves, but there's a point where you lift him up for him to get up to the top of a thing.
Yeah.
And you're going to climb up as well. And as soon as he gets to the top, a dark elf swoops down and takes him. And that was the first time that Kratos has called out in desperation, because he takes him and flies him off. And he actually calls his name rather than boy. He's like, Atreus!
Atreus.
And he's taking him over the other side. What?
Yeah. I'm afraid that your story that you were telling was so awesome and so inspiring that Google had trouble broadcasting it to me.
Yes, I had exactly the same issue there with Google Hangouts. So, no, they haven't improved anything, Gareth. There's your proof.
Oh, well, it was a test. We're just doing this the once, yeah? Just to see.
Yeah.
Because we have other things we could do. We could use Streamlabs. We can use Wirecast. But I just thought it would be nice for a change. So you were saying that Atreus and Kratos go to Niflheim or Niflheim?
I don't think it's Niflheim. I think it's Aphelheim. I think the first time that you get to a bridge... where you drain the lake and there's a circular bridge thing, and it can take you to different zones, and you turn the bridge depending on where you want to go and stuff. So you're in your first initial place, and then you turn it and you go to your second area, which I'm in now. Like I said, I've taken my time to get to this point because I like to explore around, make sure I don't miss anything. So when I got to the lake, it was very much a case running around everywhere.
On the bright side, Nige, the audio is recorded separately, so when I put this together,
yes,
I can have a listen back to what you said, because it could be really good and I could be fucking missing out. But hey,
You need to tell your missus to stop using the internet while you're doing the recording.
Tell the microwave. Don't use the fucking microwave or the Hoover when I'm broadcasting.
Thank you, Virgin Broadband.
I don't know if it's Virgin Broadband on that.
Don't know. It could be Google. Because I remember this. Google used to do this when we used to do this a couple of years back. So I'd have thought, by now, it should be improved. But hell no. So I'm itching to get on and carry on playing the game. And I know I've got a bit of time after we finish the podcast. So, yay! I can play that. I like it. I don't think the fact he's got a son detracts from him being who he is. I think it adds a certain extra dimension to the game.
Yeah.
You can sort of upgrade him and skills that he uses, which is nice. You can't upgrade his... So far, I can't upgrade his equipment, like his chest piece, but I can upgrade his bow and his quiver. And he's now helping out in melee combat as well. So if I start hitting something and I hit him up in the air, he'll do a special combo move and stuff on him. But when you get the game, you can have a look at all the skill moves straight off the bat, and you can see where you want to sort of aim for, what you want to spend your skill points on and whatnot, which I like. I don't like it when you have games that have skill points, but they're locked off and you can't actually see what they might be in the future. This one you can. So you can sort of go, right, well, I'll aim for that one. In order to get that one, I need to unlock this one and this one first. So you can sort of plan it a bit, and then everything else is gravy. It's good.
Cool.
It's good. Fight is fairly fluid. And if you like the gore, there's a lot of gore all the time. The kids wanted to see the game. And I started off, and you literally start off by fighting the stranger who attacks you. It's a big old fight. Straight outside your home. Yeah. You start off with it. So not ruin anything there. It's like the first 10 minutes of a game, man. But it can be gory. Fucking blood everywhere if you're fighting humanoids. And if you're fighting the drugs, or whatever they're called, however you say it, and you get to the point where you stun them enough and you can use a special, you push your R3, who starts ripping their heads apart. Literally down the middle, split them. It can get gory, so which is probably why it's an 18.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any swearing. I haven't come across any swearing or anything like that in there. It's just purely the gore, and it's the gore that is the reason why it's an 18. I don't think there's any sexual references or anything like that either. So it's just one of those that they've gone, it's got a bit too much blood, so we'll make it an 18.
Okay.
So yeah, if you like a hack and slash, a tiny little change. I think it keeps with the previous God of War games, to be fair. Similar sort of thing. Although I haven't come across any sort of other weapon that you can use. I remember in previous game or God of War 2, you had different weapons, didn't you? You had like double knives, and then you had the chains of, I can't remember what they were called, some chains that sort of flicked out.
Yeah.
And different ones. But this one, you just got a sword, not a sword, you got an axe and a shield.
Yeah.
And bare fists.
Yeah, I can imagine that. What was it? Who's the Greek, the Norse bad guy? Because I imagine that they won't do Odin. They'll do Odin probably in the third iteration of this game. So
I don't know. They mention they do mention Odin. I think the boy mentions Odin, saying he's a because he his mother has passed down knowledge to him, and he sort of updates his dad on, you know, different things as they come across it. And he does mention Odin, and there are crows in the game. They look like...
Yeah, Odin's got two crows that he's like eyes and ears.
Yeah, so he's got... Well, there's many, many, many crows. If you look at the amount that you've got to kill, like 51 of them or something, you'll see them perched up, and they're like ghostly figure crows.
Yeah.
So sort of opaque, and you just throw your axe at them sort of thing and kill them. There's a... You know, the more you do of those, the more experience you get and stuff you can spend on your upgrades and whatnot. But I like it, and it's kept me going back for more. Yeah, I think that and Horizon Zero Dawn, I've enjoyed both of them. I know they're both exclusive to Sony, but...
Yeah, and you haven't finished off Horizon Zero Dawn.
No, I haven't. I kept meaning to go back, but I don't get time on the PlayStation that much because of the kids. But yeah, it's definitely, I'd say it's a very good game.
Okay, all right.
So worth it.
Yeah,
worth it.
Yeah. As I said, I'm planning on getting it. I've just recently gone through Neil Gaiman's Norse mythology book, and I'm going through the Greek mythology book at the moment. Which is quite interesting. I haven't even got to the proper gods yet. I'm still with the Titans and the Titanomachy. They're kicking the shit out of each other, which is quite good. But yeah, that sounds good. I recently played Wolfenstein 2, The New Colossus.
Okay.
I don't think it's as good as The New Order or The Old Blood or The Return to Castle Wolfenstein DLC that they put out. The reason I say this is it's a bit, they've kind of leapt off the deep end with some weird shit. Like, you've got Hitler living on Venus trying to be a film director, which just comes across as absolutely crazy. But
what the they fuck? Do
as I said,
comes across crazy.
yeah you think it's great because the portrayal of Hitler at that age, what they did, I think, is right. Because he's the kind of guy, he's like, kind of, I need a piss. I'm just going to piss here on the floor and you guys can clear it up, yeah? I'll throw up over there and you clear it up, yeah? Oh, I don't like the way you're acting. You got the lines wrong. Bang, I shoot you, you're dead. Right?
It's almost like that plot sounds like what they've done is, right, they've got a dartboard and they've got different plot lines written on a dartboard and they've thrown a dart at the board and it's landed on Hitler on the moon, or so, and they've gone with that. Whatever it hits, we'll go with. No thought, no. It's odd. Sounds weird.
Yeah, it just seems a little crazier than it was the first time round. Because the first time round, it was they did have a moon base on there, but it did kind of felt like in line with the game where the Venus one seems a bit out of whack, and it's a lot easier to get to Venus than it is to get to the moon. But you had that, and halfway through the game, you get your head cut off and surgically reattached to another body.
Okay. As you do?
Yeah, as you do. There's that. Other weird, they've got loads of weird shit in it, but the bad guy on it, a character, Frau Angle, who was in the first game, who gets like half a face blown out, but she survives. She's an evil bitch, and when you kill her at the end, it's so satisfying. It really is. You've got this evil bitch, yeah, and it starts off, and you've caught a Nazi U-boat, the biggest Nazi fucking U-boat you could find. I can't remember what they call it, something hammer. And Eve's hammer, they call it, yeah. And Eve's hammer then gets attacked by this other flying fucking thing. I can't remember what that's called. And throw angles on it, and she catches one of your friends, catches you, you and two mates, yeah. And she first thing she does is she cuts off one of your friends' heads in front of you. And you think, what a bitch, yeah. And then she goes to cut the other person's thing off, other person's head off, but misses and cuts his fucking arm off because a daughter kind of backstabs her, shall we say, to join the resistance. So this big fat German lass has decided to join your crew. Anyway, you kind of go through these things and you do these kind of missions and whatnot. And they're building these UFO style ships to travel to Venus at Roswell, ironically, which you then turn around and nuke, which was quite satisfying, I'll be honest with you. Let's nuke the bad guys. It always puts a fucking smile on my face. It's something I wouldn't want to do in real life, but in a fantasy world, bit of nuking always
crack on, mate.
And there's a bit where you go back to your house and you meet your dad, and your dad's an utter arsehole. And the Nazis literally have got this flying ship thing, and they rip the house up off the ground, and then it's like swinging around all over the place, and you're trying to climb up, and then they get caught by them. Then you get your head detached from your body, which then gets caught by a drone, which then they quickly stuff you into a tank, yeah, to keep you alive, yeah. And then after they've done that, then they attach yourself to a spare body they just happened to find, which seemed really odd. But you get these, like, you get two additional skill sets. You get one that will let you to ram through walls, and another one that will let you kind of pass through small spaces, and another one that gives you really long legs. And I was like, that's the worst one of the lot, like ramming down kind of like walls and stuff. It'd be nice because you get this big fuck off Uber soldier things in there, and being able to knock them fucking down seems like a good idea. And that the one to sneak through air vents and stuff, so you can sneak up on them and kill them, that seems like a fucking good idea too.
Yeah.
But having tall legs, it's not stealth, nor is it bold. Or what were you thinking, guys?
It allows you to reach high places.
Yeah, that's it. I'm just like,
you can take the stairs in one step.
Yeah, that's it. But see, the strategy I always play with the game was, I got into an area, I scoped up as much of the area as I could, I tried to find the commanders who could call in backup, and work my way towards them and kill them off quietly. And as soon as everyone was killed off quietly, I'd break out the double shotgun, and then I'd just go and wail on every fucker I could find. And
gung-ho.
That was really enjoyable. It was a perfect strategy. It made my life happy. The end, though, when you catch up with Fry Angle, is fantastic, because you take control of her fucking flying thing that attacked your submarine at the beginning. And apparently she's been interviewed on US TV. So while she's being interviewed on US TV, live in front of the fucking population, you take an axe to her face, and it's done in really fucking gratuitous detail. Yeah? It's like, the guy's like kind of, you see him, he's like kind of da-da-da, and you know that when you play Wolfenstein, you attack someone with an axe, yeah? One of his moves, if he's a smaller soldier that he can get away with it, he will ram it across their legs, cutting their fucking legs off to knock them onto the ground, and then bury it in the back of their head. Yeah?
Right.
And just like, it's really quincy, and it's like, if they go to reach for you, he'll cut the fucking arm off, yeah? And it's great. He goes down there, and you're like walking around, he's like, I'm trying to figure out how to get to her. I'm thinking, God, is this going to be a trap? So I managed to get to her, and she goes to pull out a gun, he cuts her fucking gun off, yeah, pins her down on the desk, and then buries the thing in her face, yeah? So she's still alive, yeah?
Yeah.
And then he finishes her off by like cutting it into her head, so her head then splits open, and then she's like twitching.
Yeah.
Twitching on the desk behind, on live TV in the States. And then this is the bit that gets me, it ends with the worst cover of Twisted Sister's We're Not Gonna Take It. Because I listened to it, and it was like a heavy metal rendition, and it went on for about 10 minutes, which is the length of the titles, which is great, but just wasn't as good as the Twisted Sister's version.
I can't say I know the song. Probably heard it, I'd probably recognise it, but
you probably have heard it at one point or another, but it's one of those things. And I really fucking enjoyed it. I don't think it was as good as the New Order, though. And I don't think it was as good as the DLC for the New Order.
I got a little way into the New Order. Got it on the PC, but I did. I can't remember where I got to. Long time ago. I played it a long time ago. I have this habit at the moment of getting so far into games and then sort of going, ooh, squirrel, and playing another game. And then playing that, so, ooh, another one. Yeah, and so I never finish.
Yeah, I can understand. There's so many things around at the moment. If I've got... I've got a ton of games I need to get through.
Yeah,
I've still got Castlevania, which I was really enjoying because it had the most epic fucking soundtrack on it. It made whatever you were doing sound more important than it was, if that made sense.
Yep.
Yeah, it was like kind of I'm beating the crap out of a giant spider. Yeah, but this giant spider is not the giant spider that I'm seeing on screen. It's the size of a fucking skyscraper, the way the music's making it sound. Yeah, I was really enjoying it. The problem is, I think I just got lost at one point. You're supposed to navigate. There's a bit where it becomes more like a maze as a puzzle. And I was just enjoying the kicking the crap out of things like Kratos did.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
and that's why I think I know, go back to it, but I think you'll love that game. You'll love God of War. Yeah. Just kicking the crap out of everything. But you have to be careful, though, because, you know, things do creep up on behind and they do take you out. They take a big chunk out of you if you're not careful. Yeah. And they do ramp up the difficulty of the things that you're trying to kill.
That sounds like fun. That's the reason I've asked for it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly. Go for it. Good.
Okay. So I'm going to. We're going to try and. Right, the last couple of podcasts, we put political things in there, yeah? And I know, personally, that stuff can be a big fucking turn-off, yeah? So we're going to try and make it up to you by reading 25 hilarious headlines from newspapers. So I'm going to share the screen, so it's not going to help you guys with the podcast. So I'm going to share the screen here so we can see what kind of hilarious headlines that we can come across. So let's start off with number 25. Bugs flying around with wings are flying bugs, by Wayne Hansen.
What genius thought.
Here's another one. Grass grows faster after rain.
Hell shit, really?
Yeah, this is a great one. County pays $250,000 to advertise lack of funds. What the fuck? They got their priorities right.
Yeah.
I read you this last night when I said maybe we should do this today. One-armed man applauds kindness of strangers.
One-armed man applauds the kindness of strangers.
Well, you can. One arm man clapping sounds like.
Yeah.
What the.
I can't, no. It's just there loads of F's and G's.
It's like Scott McDermott smashed his head against the bloody keyboard. Yeah, so we've got that.
That was a Scottish headline.
Okay. This is a great one. This made me laugh too. Homicide victims rarely talk to the police.
Well.
What the.
Fucking Mr. Obvious.
Oh, this is a classic one. Woman's gone missing since she got lost.
Just tell you.
Chances of rain depend on where you live. Oh, here's a good one. Another good one. Man determined to get arrested. Gets arrested. this is another one of Richie last night, which I found hilarious. Army vehicle disappears. An Australian army vehicle worth $74,000 has gone missing after being painted with camouflage.
Well, it has to be said they've done a fucking good job there.
Yeah.
you can't fault.
Where's it gone? I don't know, Steve. Steve, what have we done?
I was stood next to it a second ago. I turned. Look back and it's gone.
Oh, good, right. Caskets found as workers demolish fucking mausoleum. Oh, dear. You know what a mausoleum is, don't you? It's a building where they store fucking bodies. Oh, God. Slowdown continues to accelerate. Volunteers needed to help torture survivors. That doesn't sound very...
We need volunteers to help torture this survivor.
Help torture survivor. Oh, it's missing the S off the end. Yeah, sorry. I put the S on there by default.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
All right. Choice of words.
This is a great one in our current landscape. Man arrested for everything. Unlawful possession of cured vehicle?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Felony, all that stuff. Right. DOE to NESPA. Oh, my God. And the
DOE to do NESPAs, EIS on BNFLs, AMWTP at INEEL after SRA protest.
Nuclear waste incinerator gets full environmental
study.
There is
far too many acronyms in that.
Yes. Department of the Environment to do nuclear something, something, something inspection service on British nuclear facility something, blah, blah. Oh, my God. I don't know, it's funny, but it's weird. Hospitals resort to hiring doctors. You don't say. Hospitals resort to...
If I had my way, I'd just hire Bob. Yeah. It doesn't matter. Bob and
plumbers.
Dave. Dave and
plumbers
Bob.
Plumbers will do it. Just get as many plumbers in as possible.
I'll get Carlos in.
Oh, my God. This is a great one. Planes forced to land at airports.
Oh, fuck. Rather they landed on the Brazilian airstrip.
Starvation can lead to health hazards.
Fucking hell.
Big rig carrying fruit crashes on 2010 freeway, creates jam. Oh, sorry, that's brilliant. Oh, here we go. Look, total lunar eclipse will be broadcasted live on Northwoods Public Radio. That's as bad as Keith.
That's the best way to watch an eclipse on the radio.
Yeah, on the radio naturally. What the hell? Rallies against apathy draw small crowd. Okay, that makes sense. Man in boxers leads plea. Man in boxers leads police on brief chase. Seventeen remain dead in morgue shooting spree. What's this? Man coming through window says he was about to warn neighbor about prowler. Okay, all right. Oh, that's a classic. Safety meeting ends in accident. Oh, God. Oh, I've still not got over my cold. Oh, that's a great one. Oh, anyway.
So there you go.
I've got it. Yeah, so just something... To make you laugh, because we have been too serious and we need more humour and more enjoyment in the world. So, thanks for listening. And if you've watched, thanks for watching. Shame Keith's not here because he likes doing lots of visual things, and this would probably suit him as a medium more so than the normal thing. But yeah, I hope you enjoyed the last bit. Bit of a giggle. Gave me a bit of a giggle. I fucking hope it gave you a giggle. So yeah, thank you for watching. Say goodbye, Nige.
And thanks for listening.
Oh, and thanks for listening on the podcast. Yeah, this is confusing. Fucking visual and fucking auditory. It's just mad. But you can join us on the next week's podcast where you can listen to an eclipse. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
For downloading the Monkey Nut Punch podcast. You can follow us on Twitter at Monkey Nut Punch. You can also find us on Facebook, facebook.com/monkeynutpunch.